you'll just wait a second or two till I move some things around. And try not to hang anything up by accident. I wouldn't do it on purpose. I noticed in my figured out to the nickel, and you know, whatever it might be. as we should be, not allow ourselves to get too frustrated, and hopefully even develop a little patience. And I do, and I know we all do, need to develop a little bit more patience with all the problems in our everyday lives. You know, and that's like I said, it could be traffic, it could be stores, banks, post offices, disagreements with our family member, unfair treatment from our employers, and I don't have any employees anymore, and you know, just fellow workers that are just inconsiderate, and you know, it's happens every day, and gosh, you got to bite your tongue, you got to just kind of walk away from some of them. But at any rate, as Christians, you know, we have a great need, brethren, and even an obligation to develop real godly patience, especially living as we do in the, you know, the pressure cooker that is this world society and this life that we live in right now. So if you would, let's turn first to the book of Romans to begin. Romans 8, that is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible, very inspiring. Romans 8, and we're going to look at verse 25 here in just a second. You know, most of us have been in God's church for quite some time, and we've all been challenged for many years by the ministry to endure to the end and to patiently wait for the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of God's kingdom on this earth. And the Apostle Paul tells us here in Romans 8, verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not have, yet have, we wait for it patiently. So we patiently wait for what we do not have yet. So exactly, what is true, effective, godly patience then? And how do we develop more of it to better deal with everyday trials and to truly, patiently endure until Christ return? Well, let's look at a couple of scriptures. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures, actually. That will give us some helpful advice. Let's turn first to the book of Hebrews, or second, I guess, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 1. And here the Apostle Paul, and I am quite certain that he did write this sermon that was actually recorded as the book of Hebrews. But here in Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 1, he tells us, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And just a few pages away in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you want to look over there real quick, 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll look at verse 5 through 7. Peter tells us that patience is one of the virtues of character that we need to have in order to keep from falling away from the faith. Here in 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 5, he says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love, which is the first and the greatest of those fruits of God's Spirit. And Peter continues in verse 10 and 11. He says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. That's something that we all want, I hope. I try to pray that every day. You know, God, help me to make my calling and election sure and keep me on that path that leads to your kingdom as a first fruit. He says, for if we do these things, you will never fail or never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, you know, right there in the same general area of your Bible is the book of James. And James also has something to say about patience. In James 1, and we're going to read verse 2 through 4. James writes here that all Christians should count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, in all the verses that we just looked at, the word patience is translated from the Greek word hupomone, H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E. I'm not a Greek scholar, but this is Greek Strong's number 5278, especially in the wilderness. And I think, you know, I've said dozens of times through the years that, the examples in the Old Testament scriptures were put there for our learning. And let's turn to Romans 15. And we will see that. Romans 15 and verse 4. And we'll see why ancient Israel's example is recorded for us. He says, again, this is Apostle Paul, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." So by studying the examples in God's Word and using God's Spirit to help us avoid the mistakes recorded there, and there's a lot of them recorded there, and they are there for our learning, we can develop more godly patience. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 13. I've used this example many times. In fact, I think I referred to parts of it maybe a month or so ago. But in 1 Samuel 13, the prophet Samuel had arranged to meet King Saul at Gilgal and offer sacrifices there before a battle with the Philistines. But when the appointed time came and went and Samuel didn't show up, Saul began to worry. And Saul and the people with him grew more and more impatient and fearful until Saul decided to offer the sacrifice himself and just take things into his own hands, even though he wasn't supposed to. And he was commanded not to do so, because it was a direct violation of what God had commanded him to do. Now let's look at 1 Samuel 13, and we're going to read verse 8 through 14. It says that when he, Saul, waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel, and towards he waited the time that he was told to, it says, "But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. They started wandering off. So Saul said, 'Bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me.' And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened, as it always does, you just count on it. It says, now it happened, as soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, that Samuel came. He showed up. And Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, because he knew what had happened, says, 'What have you done?' And Saul said, 'When I saw the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Mishmash, then I said, you know, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I've not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering.' And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you to do. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom and over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you.'" So Saul had other problems, but in this instance, if he just waited a little bit longer, had a little more patience, circumstances might have worked out a little differently from him, and he would not have been rejected as king over Israel. Now let's turn to Matthew 18. You know, Jesus Christ told a parable about a servant who owed a great debt to a certain king. And when the servant went to the king and he begged for mercy, the king, in an act of patience and kindness, released that servant from the debt. Let's look at that in Matthew 18, and we're going to read verse 23 through 27. He says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents." That's a lot. "But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold into slavery with his wife and children and all that he had, that payment might be made. Well, the servant fell down before the king, saying, 'Master, you know, I have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, and he released him, and he forgave him the debt. But then this same servant, who had just been forgiven this great debt, he went out and cast into prison a man who owed him far less than he had owed the king. The punishment you know, there's more of a problem here than just a lack of patience. But the previous verses show that the king combined patience with mercy in his dealings with the ungrateful servant. Now, true servants of God throughout history have demonstrated the trait of godly patience. Now, we're going to look at a few examples. So let's turn back over to the book of Hebrews, this time chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Abraham waited patiently 25 years for the son God promised him from his wife Sarah. And again, there were, you know, there were other lessons learned besides patience, but Abraham's patience is one of the many reasons that God considered Abraham his friend. Here in Hebrews 6, beginning in verse 13, it says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.' And so after he had patiently endured, he, Abraham, obtained the promise." He obtained the son. Let's turn back to the book of James again, chapter 5. Everybody remembers the patriarch Job. Now, God allowed Satan to just utterly destroy everything that Job had. And then after that, to rack his body with severe, painful boils, and just make him just totally miserable. I can't even imagine. And said, but yet, you know, Job set a tremendous example of patience, which the apostle James, you know, later made a special point of referring to. So let's look here at James 5, and we're going to look at verse 10 and 11. Because James also mentions the patience of the prophets. He says, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Now, even today, when someone has a great deal of patience, we say, "Well, gosh, this guy has the patience of Job," which means he's got a lot. Now, let's turn back to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, King David, unlike his predecessor, Saul, had great patience, and it was linked with an abiding faith in God. David's Psalms are filled with expressions of his attitude of patience. Now, we're just going to jump through a few of them. You don't really need to turn to each one, because I'm just going to quote a few words from several of them here. First is Psalm 40 and verse 1. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Psalms 25, verse 5. David says, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day." And verse 21 of the same chapter, he says, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on you." And you know, let me add here just that the commonly translated word "wait" here is in many other places of the Old Testament, is Strong's number 6960, is kovaw, K-A-K-W-V-A-W, means to expectantly and patiently tarry or wait. So it's just means to patiently wait for whatever is going to come past. But here in Psalms 130, verse 5, David says, "I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope." Psalm 62, verse 1. "Truly my soul waits upon him, upon God. From him comes my salvation." And let's go back now to the New Testament, to 2 Corinthians 11. And we will read some stuff here. 2 Corinthians 11, Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things that come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Artaeus, the king, was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. I mean, there were people trying to kill him, really looking hard to capture him and kill him. And, you know, but in all that, Paul endured patiently and even exhorted others to do likewise. Let's look at Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 3 through 5. Romans 5, verse 3 through 5. He says again, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces patience, and patience character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. And hope and love are both fruits of that Spirit as well. Now, we can look also at 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. I'll just quote it for you. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5 says, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." And also in Hebrews 6, don't necessarily determine there either, Hebrews 6 and verse 12, "Just be not slothful or lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And then a few pages forward, there into the book of Hebrews, let's just go ahead and turn there. Hebrews 12 and verse 3. Hebrews 12 and verse 3. You know, of course, the greatest example of patience was set by Jesus the Christ, who, you know, as an innocent lamb, died a horrible, torturous death to make possible our reconciliation to God. Hebrews 12, verse 3 admonishes us. He says, "For consider him," talking about Christ, "who endured such contradiction or opposition of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, or lose patience," other renderings have. Galatians 5, verse 22, tells us that patience is one of the fruits of God's Spirit. But as with any of those fruits, any of them, brother, we have to yield to God's Spirit and exercise it or use it in order to develop those fruits of God as that He wants us to build in our lives. Now, I'd like to give you 5 points or ways that we can develop godly patience. Number one is keep your eye on the overall goal. Don't lose sight of what your calling is and where we're going. All of us are forced to deal with various trials and problems, and when we're trying to reason, you know, with somebody, an unconverted mate, or somebody at work, are striving to please an unfair boss or struggling to make financial ends meet, it's sometimes hard to keep our minds focused on our ultimate destiny, which is birth into God's family and co-rulership of the universe and all that is seen and unseen, for that matter, with Jesus our Savior. Now, that's exactly what we have to do, Father, brethren. That's what we must do, is keep our minds focused on that great overall goal. Now let's go back to the book of James again, actually, James 5. James wrote that we, as Christians or followers of Christ, should focus on and conduct our lives in expectation of Christ's second coming and the kingdom of God that he's going to bring with him. Let's look at James 5, verse 7 and 8. He says, "Therefore, of his kingdom throughout not just the earth, but throughout the universe. And that time is growing ever closer. And we must exercise patience in constantly looking forward to God's kingdom. Now let's look at another scripture before moving on to the next point. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. That's one we don't turn to very much, Habakkuk. It's neatly sandwiched between Nahum and Zephaniah. I know that's going to help you a lot. I'd say jokingly, I don't have any trouble finding it because I just punch it in a few abbreviated words and numbers into my computer, and voila, there it is. It goes straight to it. It's amazing. And some of these modern conveniences really, really do help. I don't know what I'd do without all the programs I have on my computer nowadays. But anyway, let's look here at the prophet. Tells us here in Habakkuk 2, verse 3, says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry." And again, that word there, wait, is the same one we looked at earlier. It's this patiently wait with expectation. Interestingly, the next verse tells us that the just will live by faith. Number two, the second point, is think before you act. There's an old saying that it was utilized in a song over 50 years ago. It was a favorite of mine. I played it over and over and over again just because I just liked it. It was done by Brooke Benton. It was "Fools Rush In." It says, "Fools rush in where angels fear to tread." And that's pretty bad. A person who impatiently and foolishly jumps to conclusions is likely to end up at the bottom of a cliff. Now maybe, your husband or wife made an unkind remark to you, somebody at work, don't snap back with something you're going to be sorry about later. But you can't take back something that you say that's hurtful. Once the words leave your mouth, they're out. So go back and, review what James, again, has to say about the untamable tongue in James chapter 3. It's a good read. Now, we should, rather be glorifying God with our words and actions around everybody. I mean, our light should shine. Now, don't dwell on your frustration about the long line you're in other words, or you will end up saying or doing something that will set a wrong example to others that reflects on God's way of life. And that's the last thing in the world we need to do, brother. Number three, concentrate on giving. Impatience is many times rooted in selfishness. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, we won't turn there. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, to be patient toward all men. And we have to apply it to our lives. That means the slow bank teller, the checkout girl at Walmart, who's probably been standing there in that one spot for 8 or 10 hours, putting up with all kinds of people, and believe me, we do get all kinds of people in Walmart. Some of them are quite unsavory and quite unpleasant. But the small child, maybe, who doesn't understand an instruction, don't be impatient with them. I oftentimes have to tell people, I can't hear what that, can you tell me again? Can you say that again? Say that again. And because I'm deaf in my left ear, I'm hoping to get a hearing aid here in the next week. I'm hoping that would be nice. We'll see how that works. But anyway, sometimes I just don't hear you. You've got to be patient with people. The rude convenience store clerk, the person who drones on and on with the most boring story you've ever heard, and perhaps even worse, you have heard it, and this is the fourth time. That really tries your patience, and I know I have to 7, verse 8. This tells us the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. You know, hopefully, you know, our ultimate goal is to sincerely love the other person and be able to look upon him or her as a future God, because that's what they will be. We just got called as first fruits, but everybody who's ever lived will have a chance sooner or later at their calling and their opportunity. And, you know, if you do, you know, treat them with respect and patience, it's going to drastically change your perspective and probably maybe even theirs of you and other people. It's going to influence them. It's going to make a point in their life, hopefully, a change that they'll notice. Number four, try to talk out tensions. You know, does your mate, your employee, or fellow worker, friend, anybody have an annoying habit? This is about to just drive you up the wall, or have they done something to offend you in some way? Some people are easily offended. I have a friend like that. Just has a chip on her shoulder, and just like they're waiting for somebody to say something that they're going to be offended at, and that's just the way some people are. You don't want to be that way. That's not a good thing. So you know, if you simply just can't overlook it anymore, in other words, you know, they've offended you and you've just run out of patience, you know, you need to go tell that person about it and attempt to talk out why you're feeling the way you are in a loving way. Now, let's go back to Matthew 18, where we read earlier. There's so many things in the Bible. You know, even if this verse isn't dealing specifically with what we're talking about, it definitely applies in principle. Matthew 18 and verse 15. It says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you," in other words, he offends you, he says something that you get upset about, "go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." And it goes on, if, you know, if he doesn't listen, then you take witnesses, but that's enough to make our point. And but let's go, see, verse 21 and 22 while we're there in Matthew 18. Because this one is kind of striking. And then it says, "Then Peter came to Christ, and he says, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times?'" Now, that's a lot, you know. "And Jesus said to him, 'I did not say to you 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. I mean, that's like, I can't even count that high. So he's saying that we need to be very forgiving and patient with others. Christ kind of puts all that back on us, doesn't he? Many times, the other person may not even have realized that some habit that he has or something he does has offended you in some way. You know, a converted brother or sister in the faith will make every effort to stop or remedy the situation if you approach them with tact and love, meekness, and a sincere concern. You can't be offensive yourself, because believe me, that's not going to work. You know, ask God to grant you favor in their eyes. And above all, don't let the impatient and resentment or hard feelings build up inside you until you explode into a rage or retaliate in some way. Now, that would certainly not be setting an example of godly self-control or patience. Number five, the fifth point, is rely on God for strength. Let's look at Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 and verse 5. "Our Father in heaven is a very, very God of patience, and he can help you to have a mind like his that is part of the Holy Spirit." So it says now in Romans 15, verse 5, it says, "Now may the God of patience and the comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus." In other words, be like-minded like Christ and God are towards you, to other people. In other words, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when you get, you know, when you think you're at the end of your rope and you just can't grin and bear it any longer, ask God for more strength through his indwelling Holy Spirit. Those are fruits of his Spirit. But you need to ask. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, we're going to look at verse 29 through 31. It says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait, that same number 6960 that we've looked at several times, if we wait, expectant, patient waiting, says those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now let's go back to the book of Psalms, chapter 27. Or Psalms 27. Actually, it's just Psalm. There is no S on it. Psalm 27, verse 14. David wrote here. He says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So God can give you the patience you need to overcome. After all, it is a gift of his Holy Spirit. So again, just ask, brethren. Now let's go back to the book of Romans, to the 8th chapter again. If we do wait on God, if we practice godly patience and endure to the end of this age, an incredible future awaits us. Romans 8, verse 19 through 23, and this will be quoted from the New International Version. It says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not of its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. That's us. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly and patiently, I might say, for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Now let's go back to the book of Isaiah again. Isaiah 64 and 4, verse 4. You know, even as we just saw, even God's creation sets an example of patience for us as it waits fulfillment of God's plan and the revealing of his Spirit's sons and daughters. But how much more is there? Isaiah 64, verse 4. Isaiah 64, verse 4. He says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, besides you, what he has prepared for him that waits for him. Patience is a vitally important commodity in the makeup of the future children of God. And we must have godly patience if we're to rule with Jesus the Christ. Another well-known psalm, 37, verse 9. Psalms 37, verse 9, you don't need to turn there. It just says, those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So we must make every effort, brethren, to build this trait of godly patience into our character. It is necessary if you intend to overcome the trials of this life and endure until Christ's second coming. Now, to wrap things up, let's turn back again to the book of Romans. This time, Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 6 through 8. It's speaking about the righteous judgment of God. He says, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them who are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. So the patience will pay off. God will reward us and bless us for that. And lastly, let's turn to back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10, and we're going to look at verse 36 through 39. And we'll let the Apostle Paul conclude things for us here on the subject of patience. He says in Hebrews 10, beginning in verse verse 36, on the subject of patience. You need, he says, you need to have patience, so when you have done the